Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, November 24th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There Is a Solution. The focus of our paragraph today will be on page 19, paragraph 1, and it begins with, none of us makes a soul vocation, and ends with, they can give nearly all their time to the work. The readers today for this particular meeting, the service in November, thank you so much, all of you, for the service. We're just about to wrap up this month. The 12 Steps, Cheryl Ann M., The 12 Traditions, Lorraine N., reading the text today in support, Eileen M., Brandy M., Leslie M., France N., and Robin P. The reference numbers, which we call the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 15836, 15836. And the share ID number for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting that happened today, which would be Tuesday, the 24th of November, is 15840, 15840. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Cheryl Ann M. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, group. Cheryl Ann M., recovered, not cured, compulsive eater in Rhode Island. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Cheryl Ann M. from Rhode Island, and thank you for your service this month for this meeting to happen. Appreciate that very much. I will now ask Lorraine N. from Oregon to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Melanie and everyone. Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. Here are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for allowing me to give service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N. from Oregon, for giving service, and again, for your loyalty to these meetings here so that they could be possible for those that are still suffering. Appreciate it very much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topics. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done showing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And just a little side note here, that means your star 1 key function only for muting. Please don't mute with just your own phone. It still interferes with technology. If you're sitting in queue waiting for your turn to share, you'll probably be muted, so be mindful of that when you come back on. You'll just need to constantly press star 1. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 19 in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're going to unpack paragraph 1 today. And it begins with, none of us makes a sole vocation, and ends with, they can give nearly all their time to the work. And I'd like to ask Eileen N. to please, read that paragraph for us, unpack it with her experience, strength, and hope, and then we'll open up for the rest of the fellowship to be able to share on it. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Eileen M., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. None of us makes a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. All of us spend much of our spare time in the sort of effort which we are going to describe. A few are fortunate enough to be so situated that they can give nearly all their time to the work. Well, very grateful to be on the line today. And as I'm reminded in, that abstinence is only the beginning. And, you know, there's a sentence in the Big Book that says, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. And I remember in early OA when I first got abstinent, the first time, I remember thinking, okay, well, what now? You know, what do I still need to come to meetings for? And, you know, the big book tells me on page 60 that the principles are guides to progress in the spiritual life. So, you know, in order to make progress, I have to know what the principles are. And, you know, because that's how I can evaluate whether I'm making progress in the program is, you know, I can ask myself, well, gee, am I practicing humility today? Am I practicing patience and integrity and faith? And, you know, and then ask if I'm doing it in all my affairs. And, you know, that's so important. And, of course, you know, abstinence is key to be doing this work. But, you know, and it doesn't say that I'm going to be doing it perfectly. It just says that, you know, if I'm not, you know, if I'm having trouble in one area, it just means that more work still needs to be done. And, you know, the miracle today is I've got a loving higher power. And there's no graduation here, you know, there's no graduation in program. It's just, you know, it's just making progress and growing along spiritual lines. And that's what I'm here to do, you know. And, yeah, so with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. So it's open now for others to be able to share on that paragraph, paragraph 1, page 19, in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you would give me your first name, first letter of your last name, and perhaps your state, we can welcome you to share on that. And although we do really respect all experience here, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So just a little hint here, if you shared on Friday or Monday, then tomorrow would be the day that you would come back in to share again, just to give you some information on that piece. So I'm ready to take your name and your number and your state.
Aaliyah S.,
name and
California.
Your number. Somebody from California.
Naomi S. Aaliyah S.
Naomi.
Aaliyah. Jody E.
Jody E.
Freya H.
Freya.
Cindy B.
Cindy D or B?
B.
Be like boy?
Boy.
Be like boy. Okay.
Robin P.
Robin P. Okay, that's good. That's my favorite lineup, my six, I think. So we have Nomi, Aaliyah, Jody, Freya, Cindy, and Robin. You're up first, Nomi. Star one, please. The rest of you, please press star one. Nomi S. from California. We're ready for you.
Hi there. Good morning. Nomi S. In Southern California. Recovered compulsive overeater. And this paragraph is just such a sweet reminder that the work is never done. And it's especially sweet in thinking on days when I don't do it perfect, which is every day, that I'm a work in progress, that God is working on me daily, as long as I allow him to. And how, and how that work is manifested in my interactions with my family, in my interactions with work colleagues, in my interactions with just people that I encounter in life, and circumstances that I encounter in life, and decisions that I need to consider making. All of that is just on days when things are more smooth, not that they're ever perfect, because they never are days when I know I know I've connected with God, and I know he's carrying me through. And the compulsion to want to overeat and is at bay, and with that I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Naomi S. from California. Aaliyah S., where are you from?
Good morning. This is Aaliyah S. in California, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm so grateful to this paragraph, and I had a real life experience with it this weekend. But first, I'd like to share a story. When I was brand new in program, I remember reading this paragraph with my sponsor, And after we read this page, we would meet together once a week and read the book. And at the end of our meeting, she would close the book, and whatever page we were on or whatever we had just read, she would say, "I would like you to go home and practice this now at home." And during this time, I was trying to get sober, and she told me, "Aaliyah, I want you to stop running around the rooms like a crazy woman with your hair on fire. You know, go to 4 meetings a week, pick a home group, be of service to that home group, but you don't need to go to 4 meetings a day. I want you to go home and do the dishes, and I want you to go home and see how you can be of service to your family." And I'll forever be grateful. I specifically remember going home that day and being of service to my family for maybe the first time. And my husband at the time and I were not getting along very well. And my kids were 2, 4, and 5. And I remember him saying, "Something has changed in you, and I don't know what, but I see a difference." And within a month later, he drowned. And I was left to, you know, raise these kids on my own. And I continued to drown in the food for 6 more years and remained sober. But what happened this weekend, at 6.5 weeks abstinent, I looked around my house and I realized nothing has changed. In 6 years, nothing has changed. My house is a mess. My parenting is a mess. My life is unmanageable. My finances, and, you know, and I just got a big case of the efforts, and I went and binged, and I woke up, got a new sponsor, and I did the same thing. I went to 1,000 meetings this weekend, listened to 1,000 podcasts, and the new sponsor called me on Sunday and said, "You know, Aaliyah, I really don't think you're absorbing any of this, and, you know, maybe you need someone that can help you right away." And I was devastated because I had done all the action and work that I thought I needed to get abstinent and start the process over. And I had a friend text me last night, and she said, "How wonderful that you have 3 kids at home that you could be of service to all the time." And I just stopped dead in my tracks. I am never of service to my kids. You know, I have addictively worked this program like I addictively and compulsively ate food. And after hearing the phone call this morning and an old sponsor telling me to listen to the first recorded meeting, I just had an aha moment, you know, and this paragraph came alive again. And for that, I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Elias from California. Jody E. from California, you're next. And then Freya will follow you.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic from Monterey, California. So this paragraph is really a good one. It says 2 very important things to me. One is that I don't need to make this my sole vocation. I work as a sponsor, as a member of Overeaters Anonymous, as someone who carries the message, because its effectiveness would not be increased if I did. My sponsees want to see that I have a life beyond being a sponsor, I think. You know, they want to see that I have balance in my life, that I can make a living, that I can have relationships that are healthy and loving. They don't want to see that this is all that I do. And so, in order to do that, I need to be a member of a family or a friend. I need to be a good friend, a good family member, and also demonstrate these principles in all areas of my life, in my work and in my family life. And that it perhaps is a tall order, but reliance on a higher power can make all of that possible. That is the promise, and that is the miracle of this program. When I make my recovery my priority, everything in my life gets better. I make progress in all areas. And when I don't, when I get back into the food, everything suffers. I've heard it said in these rooms that whatever I put before my program or my recovery, I will lose eventually. And that has been true for me. But once I get recovery, then I have to work at improving all my affairs. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jody E. from California. Freya H. from Colorado, you're next, and then Cindy B. will follow you.
Good morning, Melanie and everybody. My name is Freya, and I am a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic in Colorado. Oh, I'm so glad that we're having a meeting on this paragraph today. It is so timely for me. And I've done multiple 10 steps on, you know, where's the balance? How do I balance, you know, sponsoring and service and my family obligations and being a member of, you know, of my community, et cetera. And the, you know, what always comes to me are, you know, the wise things that my fellows share with me and the things that my higher power reminds me is that when I'm in fear about trying to find the balance, it's because I'm trying to run the show. And I think that if I just do it right, if I just, you know, figure out the right amount of time, the right number of sponsees, the, you know, the right formula, then I'm going to be okay. And that's just me trying to manage. And the answer is let go of trying to manage and trust that your higher power is going to give you the insight when you need it. So I don't get the rule book to tell me, you know, this is exactly what you should do, but I do get constant, or at least I get the opportunity to have a higher power and check in with that higher power always. So that's what I get to do, is I get to check in with my higher power to find out what my next right thing is. And there's so much more I could say about this. But this week I was in fear about, you know, my family is supposedly on vacation, and I realized I have a lot of program related commitments, and I wrote them all down, you know, that the time, the days and the times. And I realized that if my husband had handed me that list and said, I'm busy at all these times, I don't think I would have been very happy with that. And so I've checked in with my sponsor, I've checked in with sponsees, I've checked in with my husband, and most importantly, just trying to check in with my higher power to do, you know, to do what is most useful. Because I also love that it says in here, it wouldn't increase our usefulness if we devoted all our time to this. It would just be more of me. So I don't know who God wants me to be today or how God's going to use me to be of service. But thankfully, I don't have to know. I just get to check in, stay connected, and do the next right thing. And so incredibly grateful to be part of this fellowship, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Freya H. from Colorado. 6 more minutes, and we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 19 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the chapter. There is a solution. Just 6 more minutes, so you want to get ready. If you haven't shared, we'd love to hear from you if you hadn't shared in the last 3 days. But in the meantime, we're ready to listen to Cindy B. from Massachusetts, and then Robin P. will follow her. So get ready, y'all. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you. This is Cindy B., and I'm gratefully recovering in OA. And this paragraph really, and the shares today have been very, very helpful. You know, I was thinking of the phrase, faith without works is dead, but also work without faith is dead. And, you know, if I'm just focusing my whole life on my program, then I'm not really having complete faith in my higher power. What I notice is that I can come to these meetings just as compulsively as I can eat. And that, you know, it says in this first paragraph that, you know, to make a sole vocation of this isn't necessarily going to increase any effectiveness. So the idea is that I'm not going to hide in these meetings, that my life is, I'm abstinent so that my life and my recovery, the principles of my program, I can demonstrate to the outer world. I'm getting ready to go to Thanksgiving with my son's girlfriend and her family this week. And, you know, I'm very excited to meet new people now. And We've already talked about the food with them and all of that. And it's like everywhere I go, whether it is my home or what I'm doing for my work or all my affairs, I am bringing my program with me. I'm bringing my steps with me. I'm bringing the support of my sponsors and the people who I talk to on a regular basis with me everywhere I go. I have like an army of people. I'm so lucky. So thank you all for listening. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Cindy B. from Massachusetts. Robin P., you're up now, and then we're going to take some more names, so get ready. Hi, Robin from Mexico.
Hi, thanks so much, Ms. Mel. Thanks for all your service. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Tulum, Mexico, and so grateful to be on the meeting today. It reminds me to practice these principles in all of my affairs. And, you know, to live in the steps. And that's part of my 12 steps, is to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And that's where I get to practice these principles, just because in my life, I get to live in these steps. You know, if I weren't in life, I wouldn't be in 10, 11, and 12. You know, so it's really important for me to also live life, use my gifts for good the way that God wants me to, and then just keep showing up and being of service to God and my fellows. That was not my goal when I came into this program, to be of service to God and my fellows, but it is now. And, you know, this week has been such a really tumultuous week. My husband, they discovered tumors in his prostate, and he spent the week doing a lot of testing and his doctors and hospitals and things happening and him fainting and just all kinds of things. But the angels kept showing up and the program kept showing up. And I got to be the recipient of other people's prayers and texts and calls. And I got to feel the program in action, just the way they're talking about here, that we show up and we're of service to God and our fellows. And I got to keep receiving and keep receiving today. We find out today, you know, the diagnosis, and everyone, I feel so much power and prayer and no isolation, and that's the miracle of this recovery. God bless everybody with a very blessed afternoon day. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. from Mexico. The lines are now open for additional comments. Paragraph 1, page 19 of the big book, and although we do really respect your experience, we do ask that if you shared within the last 2 days that you'd wait until tomorrow to be able to share, so that others might have experience too on the line and the time on the line to be able to share as well. So if you give me your first name, the first letter of your last name, and perhaps your state, I can take down a few names here.
Sherry H.
Michelle
M.
J. Sherry.
Michelle G.
H. M. And Michelle G. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Michelle J.
Michelle J. Anybody else?
Dana P.
Dana P. Okay, in the interest of time, it's a burn in here. I'm going to go ahead and call these, and then we'll open up the lines. Sherry H.M., Michelle G., Dev E., Michelle J., and Dana P. Sherry, you are up now. You want to press star 1 and give us your state.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. from Washington State. So good to be here, and I'm so very grateful for all of you. You guys have been so instrumental in giving me, gosh, it's been almost 6.5 years of neutrality around food. I'm so grateful. I love this paragraph because it talks about we feel the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning, and that's so true because that was just the symptom. The compulsive overeating, sugar addiction, that was a symptom of, you know, putting Sherry first. It's all about Sherry instead of my higher power. And, you know, working on the symptoms, all the buildup of emotion that also, you know, drew me into an affair with my refrigerator. So I have to be working the steps all the time. I have to be, you know, like they say, trust God, clean house, help others. And it's really about that I'm here to, you know, serve my higher power and help others. So I'm just so grateful for all these steps and all of you people that I'm eternally grateful. So happy Thanksgiving, and every day is Thanksgiving. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. Hey, by the way, I didn't catch your state. Did you say it and I missed it? Oh, I might not have caught her quick
enough. Washington State, is that what you said? Yeah.
Yes. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank
Appreciate
you.
That. Okay. Thanks. And thanks for your share. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next up is Michelle G. from California. And then Deb E. will follow you, Michelle. Hi.
Okay. Hi. Michelle G. in California. You know, this, thank you all for your service and your share and your being of service by giving of yourself in these meetings. I appreciate it so much. In this, this really hits home for me. Somebody was saying, you know, the life things that are going on, family members dealing with medical issues and, you know, having to be in the middle of it all. And I was talking to someone, you know, a much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. And we were talking about how intimate family, close friends, close family members, it's like they're the hardest ones. I can be nice to everybody else, you know, outside, but it seems like I'm the hardest on family. And this says, you know, the important demonstration of our principles of being honest, having hope and faith and integrity, all of those tend to slip out the window when it comes to family that hits that particular nerve, which it says to me, like what the 12 and 12 talks about, when I'm disturbed, it's me, it's not them. And so dealing with these life issues, these principles are coming up in my, you know, I'm listening to the meetings and I'm reading, and it's like, okay, your demonstration has to be better at this time. God has to be in the middle of the way you deal with everyone, right? So, you know, I'm just appreciative of this book that is like a mirror to me to show me, okay, this is where it really matters. It's at home. And I hear people who've been in other recovery programs come to this and say, my credits don't transfer. So the way I am with people outside my home, all sweet and nice, they think, doesn't transfer. That credit doesn't transfer when I'm dealing with my family. This demonstration has to be, you know, more on point, not necessarily perfect, but more on point, because, you know, this mirror is in front of my face showing me me. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Michelle G. from California. Appreciate that very much. Okay, next up is Deb E. Do you want to give us your state, Deb?
Hi, it's Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I'm happy to be on the meeting today. Sorry, I missed the beginning, so I'm not repeating anything someone said already. But this, you know, like a few people have shared that wine, we feel that the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. I think, you know, when I started in OA, I thought that's all I had to do was I just had to get rid of the food problem. And then everything else in my life was working fine. But I've learned over the years that that's just like scratching the surface. There's so much else that was behind all the eating, all the compulsions that I've had to uncover. And it's taken years. And I've noticed that it's, you know, it's kind of a combination of acceptance and willingness and just some more time and program and getting older that's allowed me to dig deeper and deeper into really the root of this stuff. And over the last couple of years, I've done a lot of work and like looking back at like childhood stuff and early adulthood stuff that and the way that my addiction has affected so much of my life. And, you know, this other line that a lot of people have touched on in our, you know, how am I in my home? It's really easy for me to be calm and serene at a meeting. It's easy when I'm surrounded by my fellows. You know I'm in a loving, compassionate environment. But how do I do when, you know, I'm exhausted and my patience is low and, you know, like things feel overwhelming? Like, how do I do that? Do I apply the principles program or do I lose it and like get impatient and yell at everyone? And yeah, that happens. You know, I fall short often. But what this program has taught me is I can get back on track much faster. And I think I spent so many years striving for perfection, drive myself crazy to be perfect, that those moments, you know, they do two things. They remind me that I'm human, and they remind me to connect even more to my higher power, because if I'm, you know, if I let that stuff get to me and then I just blow up, then I'm not really practicing the principles of this program as well as I can. And something that was really important for me from the beginning in OA was to learn, like to take the stuff I've learned and to bring it into my world outside of a meeting room or outside of a phone meeting. And how can I really apply it? I need to be able to live in the world. I can't just be okay when I'm in a meeting. That was like a big thing for me. And I just wanted to quickly share on that last sentence. A few of us, you know, are fortunate
time.
To be so situated. Oh, okay. Then I'll pass. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Dev Eve. And I'll give the credit to you that I would absolutely be remiss if I didn't offer the idea that if you give your state and the country and or the country that you're from, because we are so blessed to have 52 countries that are represented at as Fellowship of the Vision for You. So the lines are now going to be open for two more people to share that I have on this list. And then after that, I think there's going to be time for two additional. So we're on paragraph one on page 19 in the big book, if you want to get ready for that, because after Michelle J. and Dana P., it's going to be open for two. But right now, we're going to listen to Michelle J. from Arkansas before we get to Dana in the last two. So good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. You got me? Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Loud and clear.
All right. Hey, y'all. This is Michelle J. from Arkansas, recovered and recovering every single day. After 2 years, you would think that I could get on this program without having heart palpitations and feeling all sweaty. Anyways, you guys, don't worry. You can get through it if you just get on the line and start talking. But any hoosers. So here we go. I love this thing, and I love what everybody's been talking about, because as I started OA 2 years ago, who would have thought that this soul vocation is actually, it's so much a love of my life now. And the reason why is because the elimination of the food being that cure-all for my life, my second love in my life besides my husband and God, you know, it has done so much more in 2 years. And every day I grow deeper and deeper in my relationship with God, my relationship with others, and it is just beautiful. And then you go on and talks about our efforts. And I was just thinking about, you know, I want to keep all my ducks in a row, but now I've learned that I, like others have said, I don't need to direct my steps and probably shouldn't most of the time. I ask God to direct my steps. He keeps my ducks in a row. I don't have to anymore. So all this living life on life's terms, every day when I get hit, I've got this beautiful 12-step program, awesome, very wise people all over on this line, and I get to learn how to, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally deal with life. It is amazing. And helping others? Man, it has become a love of my life, because I want for everybody to learn that all that junk that's on the inside, all that stuff that happens in the home that you wished weren't or wasn't, that relationship that, man, come on, who's got the right Venus and Mars thing going on with your husband and wife thing, or, I mean, all those self-help books, I can lay them aside because I have this 12-step, not that self-help books are not great, because they are, but all my inner turmoils are beginning to be dealt with in a very healthy and loving way through this program, through the 12 steps. And when I cry out for help, I say, God, take away these thoughts. Change me from the inside out. Your timing, not mine. And my life has just changed upside down and backwards, and I am definitely changing from the inside out, as is my life, my home life, my career, everything. So even if you're scared, get online and just say what you got to say, because you will speak to somebody today, and you'll make a big difference in
time.
Someone's life. And I'll pass. Bye.
Thank you, Michelle J. from Arkansas. Dana P. from California, you're next for 3 minutes, and then we're going to open up the lines for a couple more folks to share. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning. Dana P. here in California. And welcome anybody who's new or nearly new. This is a wonderful place, and I love all of you, and it's so wonderful to have this opportunity to share this morning. So as I look at this paragraph in the book that we immerse ourselves in, I have two things underlined. None of us makes a sole vocation of this work, and elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. So I thought vocation, well, that's my job. So would I be, spending my whole life doing this? What a wonderful idea. But I went and I looked it up. Yes, it is a career. But the word vocation is a summons or a strong inclination to a particular state of action. It also refers to a career. So before I got into this program, and there's a synonym that really applies here. It's a pursuit, the pursuit. So before I got into vision, into the program, my disease pursued me constantly. If I wasn't actually eating food or vomiting food down the toilet, then I was thinking about it constantly, how I was going to get it, how I wasn't going to get it, whether I would be able to stop doing it, the obsessive thought. So the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind and the action that followed. And I could barely get myself to my work. And I'll leave that. That's the what was before. Now what pursues me constantly is my God, and I pursue him. And I have a summons or a strong inclination to be of service, to work this program. It is not my sole vocation. But I spend my entire life with the food other than the bit of time that I spent at work, nothing else outside. And what I've found is this tremendous, tremendous fellowship and all the other opportunities that have opened up for me. I'm mentoring now at the Rescue Mission. I teach at the community college. I do my part-time job, and I'm doing this program and I'm sponsoring. And, I would never have been able to pursue any of these other opportunities to have a beautiful life in and outside of the program, because that's what my God has for me, a beautiful life beyond my wildest dreams. And I know that there is more to be revealed, and so I just keep coming, and thank you all for being here as well, and pass.
Thank you very much, Dana P. from California. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we'd like to see if we couldn't get a couple of more people to maybe share for about two and a half minutes. I'll give your first name.
Britt B.
What's that? Britt B.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, say again. I'm sorry, what was that again? Carrie B. I got a Carrie B, I think, I hope. I'm not sure. Music started blasting in the background. I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, Kelly B.
So we're going to go
from Los Angeles.
Kelly B. Okay, thanks. In California.
Thank you.
Okay. In the interest of time, let's scoot this up here. It looks like we have probably two and a half minutes each. Britt B., you're first, and then Kelly B.
Hi, my
everybody
name
else
is
star Britt. One, please.
Hi, my name is Bridge V. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. It's
just startling to me, I can say that, in New Mexico. I am really grateful for this paragraph. I really needed to see it. It's absolutely true. Getting your eating sorted and going through the 12 steps is just the first beginning. After that, it's about service and really giving your life over to God and asking God every night when you make an account of your day, when you go through your 11th step, to ask, God, what do you want from me? Where should I be serving? To whom can I serve? And I really love the sentence that a much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. And it's really true. I'm finding that I'm a student and I'm also a teacher, and I'm finding that it's changing my relationships in my work. It's changing my relationships in school. I'm learning much more, and it's changing my relationship with my family. And my sponsor suggested to me that I should ask God, whom can I serve? Because during the pandemic, I'm immunosuppressive. I have to be careful. And it's my grandsons. I have two grandsons. One of them, he's only 12, but he has some really disordered eating habits that, you know, none of us consciously pass to him, but that he's doing. And so I've been reaching out to him and finding ways to be supportive of him. We got together the other day and we exercised together. We lifted weights together. We talked about nutrition, all of this from his desire. It wasn't something that I imposed on him. He just said, so Grandma, can you tell me about this? And is this healthy? And what's appropriate? And we talked about God, and we talked about what does he want to do with his life, and how does he want to serve the world, and what kind of a man does he want to become? So I'm really grateful for this program. Thank you all so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Britt V.
I'm not hearing anybody.
What? Lost you, Mel.
Hi. Can you hear me now? Hi, Kelly B., compulsive overeater. I've been in program since 2018 and didn't get the program. And now I've been with a new sponsor for about 5 weeks. And experiencing recovery. So it's this paragraph it's a nice reminder that you know, this program is at the top of our life, but it's not our sole vocation. And you know, I'm still working and I'm still improving my relationships with my boss and my clients, and it's been really cool seeing how those relationships have shifted just in a more positive way, and how I'm like trying to incorporate the things in the big book into all of my affairs and acting and behaving them that way. I think that's it for me. I'll pass, but I thank you guys all for being here and I appreciate this. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kelly B. I'm back. Thank God. We have a service roster here of great folk. Appreciate it very, very much. And that is our last share for today. Thank you to all that shared today and all that served to make this meeting possible this last month. What we're going to do now is start the transition over to the unrecorded hour by having Brandy M. read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll follow that by saying the Serenity Prayer together, and then we'll move on to the last 10.
Hello, good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until...